Welcome to Faith Uncut, a podcast where we explore faith in ways that might get you kicked out of most churches. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm Amira.
And we want to remind folks, if you want to support this podcast,
which we appreciate,
you can share this podcast.
Yes.
You can rate this podcast. You can review this podcast.
Ooh.
You can also donate to this podcast through the faithuncut.com website. Our Patreon and all of that stuff is accessible there.
And we appreciate
it all. If you can't do that, come back and give us some stars somewhere to counteract the negative review we got when we did queer theology. So, you know, help us out there.
Sis was not happy.
She didn't like it, but I loved it.
Yeah.
So, hey, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so today we're talking about relationships. And today we're going to cover the concept of submission.
Ouch.
Why ouch?
Ouch, because people have been hurt by this, and I just think that the church has done probably as bad a job as you could do.
I mean, with this one. So, given all of that, I can see that, but we're going to touch on it. We're going to tackle it, and it needs to be tackled because submission is presented as one of the most important tenets of relationship, mm-hmm. you know, the highest ideal of relationship that supposedly Christians can experience, which is purported to be marriage. And submission is a huge facet of that. And it's presented in a way that leaves it open to misinterpretation and abuse. I mean, just using it to abuse the mentality of somebody who might be struggling with, you know, how much of myself do I minimize or sacrifice in an effort to get along with somebody else in relationship, either the relationship that we hope leads to marriage or the actual marriage. And we do need to get real about this because it affects dating behaviors that I don't think are healthy to be present in every situation that you consider for a date. So I see this as a part of our ministry where we kind of demystify principles and ideas that have been presented on a more so do as I say, not as I do type of basis, which of course leads to harm. It leads to harm of people who don't experience power in that dynamic. But we just want to demystify it because I think that when done properly, a relationship looks a certain type of way when partners are engaged in a collaborative setup where they are not feeling like they have to hide pieces of themselves or that parts of their personality are not ostracized or criminalized just because their partner, who might be the more dominant figure in the relationship, you know, ain't got no use for it. So we're going to talk about it, and there we go.
So you said something that was interesting, that marriage is presented as this ideal. And in the context of submission, we talk about this usually in the context of marriage, but you said it bleeds into dating relationships, which is true. But why is marriage considered that ideal? It's a weird standard because Paul talks a lot about submission, but Paul wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible and the compilers of the Bible did a good job of making sure that Jesus didn't appear married in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So from the scriptures, Jesus was not married.
Right.
Okay, so
how does marriage end up being this ideal reflection of relationship if even the Christ is not
right
presented as being a part of it?
Savior.
Or Paul, the architect of the modern church, does not seem like he needs a wife or does not have one.
He explicitly said he's good without one. He didn't want one.
So let's look at that. We're always talking about the human hand over the scriptures. And we're always talking about the human hand over the interpretation of our religion. That said, you're going to have some of the more negative, now we can call it backward thinking, present in how we've always looked at a certain situation. So I don't believe, and having experienced various relationships, marriage is not the ideal relationship for every human that calls themselves a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just stop it, okay? That's like saying that every human that calls themselves a Christian should have children. Mm-hmm. That is not true.
Right.
To the same vein, every human that calls themselves anything does not necessarily need to coexist with an intimate partner joined by marriage. That might not be your individual ideal, highest ideation of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing. So one size does not fit all when talking about what is the ideal relationship that, you know, I should be in for the duration of my adult life. What people will find is that life will show you in different ways, some positive and some negative, that a lot of your preconceived notions of what you think are supposed to be major tenets of your adult life are not that. They are ideals. They are, here's something you can reach for, you could do something else. So that's the first thing. Dispelling this idea that marriage is the end all be all. I think that that idea is abusive, especially to women, because women are not presented as the ultimate decision maker on whether or not we get married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you are dating with the goal of becoming married, there can be an inclination, there can be a suggestion, like a suggestion either by environment or directly suggested to you, sometimes from your pulpit or people that you trust, that you need to be behaving like a wife before you're somebody's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is letting this other person lead you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in an effort to let them lead you, this idea of submission comes up. You know, can your man, can the man that is the leader of your home or the man that you would like to see be the leader of your home, can he tell you to do something and you do it and you don't question it? Or can he devise a plan and have you and have the expectation that you will follow it? Can he expect you to follow his leadership? And that's just one example.
Yeah.
There's other examples, like sometimes it comes up around finances. You know, whoever gets the biggest bag runs the budget for the house. There were times where that person might have been perceived to be the male member of the household. You know, he's the breadwinner. Well, that's not always true. So some people have fashioned submission to say, you know, even if you are making more money, can he control it? Can he make the decisions for how you invest or how you purchase things, whatever? And like I said, these are just certain examples, because let me tell you, it's a slippery slope into, are you submitting or are you becoming a doormat for somebody? You do not ever want to do that. But when you start to display this behavior, if you're not displaying it to someone who is also displaying to you an equal and opposite ability to be trusted to lead, you can get into trouble really quick.
This one is not just difficult for me for the poor job that church has done in teaching it. And as you said, some of the principles are set up so that women are consistently in this passive role. You're looking to be chosen, and even after you're chosen, you're trying to remain chosen through these ideas like submission and things like that. That's one element where this is difficult, but this is also difficult for me because it's painful as I continue to uncover how much I benefit from the way this is set up.
Mm-hmm.
Even before I started thinking in these terms, like it makes me uncomfortable that I kind of had it set to easy mode in this element of my relationship, because my partner was taught to yield.
Yep.
In these situations, if you come to kind of a disagreement where you can't resolve it, the head of the house resolves it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the direction you go.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to now understand that what it's like to be on the other side of that. Meaning, I know if we approach this fork in the road,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go down this stupid dude's path. And I know he ain't going nowhere. Like, he's not good with money. I'm better with money.
So, yes, within the understanding of these circumstances, you can see how this can lead to some not so good dynamics and outcomes between two people who otherwise really love each other, really enjoy each other's company, you know, really enjoy their families or want to have a family together. But power struggles come up between two or more people, right? Where we're trying to figure out who's going to drive. Okay, one car, who's going to drive? So it's not always negative. This is not a slight to women who have had extremely positive experiences with yielding or with this idea of submitting to their male partner or the dominant partner in their relationship. What I am saying is that Real harm has been done around expecting it but not explaining it. It is extremely difficult to line up behind untested leadership. It would be extremely difficult for people to rally around. For instance, you know, we can explain this politically and some people be like, you know what? I don't have no experience organizing anything, doing anything for any group of people. But you know what? I should be a senator. And we'll give that person a chance. But even after 4 to 6 years of them being a senator, you could change it if they're not doing well. Mm-hmm. Imagine going into a marriage for the rest of your life.
And you just stuck with this person.
Or you think that you are. Yeah. And worse yet, you're carrying other messages that say that if you somehow try to extract yourself from this person, you are disappointing.
Because God, the Bible hits you with that two-piece. It says, you guys, as the woman, you need to submit. And you also, as the woman, can't divorce your husband.
Right.
So you are, if you're looking at it that way, you're forced into this. You got to follow this person that may not be leading you anywhere.
Right.
And then you got to end up stuck with them because you just damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's just, yeah. It's nothing for you. It's not a good idea to, let me say it this way.
Say it.
Yeah. Don't take dating advice from Paul. That's just not a good person to take dating advice from. Mm-hmm. A person who did not want to be married, who he professed that he didn't know. He professed when he was telling you his ideas versus God's ideas. Like, this is not your sex therapist. This is not your couples counselor. This is, and then so when you're looking at him talking about marriage, first of all, the blaring question is, what do you know about marriage? But mm-hmm. like we said, Jesus didn't get married. But then when I think through this idea of what is this biblical marriage that's always right. held up, that's not,
what are we even talking
that's
about?
That's not a thing.
Right.
Because which one is the biblical marriage? Is it David's marriage where he had multiple wives and concubines that he stole from other people and raped and had their husbands killed?
And
is he the biblical marriage? Is it Abraham and his sister wife
Ooh.
Who they were related and got married? Is it that type of relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Adam and Eve's cohabitation? They didn't have a ceremony. There were no rings. They mm-hmm. were just there. Is that the biblical marriage?
It was a rack of ribs.
Right. I mean, if we've been through that. You know, I don't think that's yes. a real thing. But mm-hmm. if you're a literalist, then you got to deal with it. Is Hosea's marriage to Gomer, who was a sex worker,
mm-hmm.
Is that the biblical marriage? Is that what we're saying you should do? Now, we do not disparage sex workers at all on this show. Nope. Sex workers work. And we still haven't done that show yet, but we will. And so, yeah, we don't feel any way about Gomer, but
right. But is
that
the
biblical marriage? Yeah. Is that what you're supposed to? Because I don't think Falwell is going to marry a stripper.
So this is why it is important to, you know, read and have understanding for yourself, because you will find that things that have been sold to you as this is what God wants for you are really man's idea and interpretation of what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes in delivering that information meant to be aspirational, you know, I want you to strive for this, even if you fall a little short. This is why I said a year ago, it is so important to preach to women and men the same about relationship, because if you are indoctrinated that your highest iteration of yourself as a woman in your home is to follow your man, is to yield to his leadership, to his desires, to his what he thinks his priorities are, okay? Then you are literally being taught how to come second in your own life. Now, when you say, I'm uncomfortable with coming into awareness of how deeply ingrained these ideas can be, and you know what I learned versus what my partner has learned about how we're supposed to make this work, a show like this is not meant to disrupt things that are working.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's really working, then you're not in any way threatened by this information. This information will make people uncomfortable who know that they are eating bullshit, you know what I'm saying? More often than not, trying to protect somebody's ego, okay? So if you've been putting off the hard work of tough conversations, or, you know, what I like to used to call come to Jesus moments, you're not really good with the finances, I'm better with the finances, or it could be anything, you know, a wife might be better with things in the home that have been attributed to masculine energy. Fixing things.
Mm-hmm.
Your wife might be an engineer, okay? Let her do what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you avoid any sort of egotistical injury behind seeing her, let's say, behave outside of a gender role? Who conceived that gender role? Who said that she should only be relegated to, you know, ABC types of tasks or types of responsibilities in the home? This type of information should be, this is not meant to throw a haymaker. This is just being presented to say that some people are happily outside of a relationship that would call for them to submit, because this is one of the harder things to learn how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that submission, as it were, is even the proper word anymore, as much as it is like I'm not trying to like gentrify it, but I really feel like it's a collaboration and an ideal coexistence. Humans usually like to interact with one another and enjoy a level of companionship with mm-hmm. one another. If you choose to get married, first of all, getting married is as much about your personal relationship as it is about like legal
mm-hmm.
situations and financial situations.
Yeah, you want that tax break.
Yeah, I mean, let's just keep it real. So my thing is, first things first, keep it real about mm-hmm. why you want certain, you know, levels to be reflected mm-hmm. in your relationship. What do you really want?
Yeah.
I think we're getting better at it, helping people discuss what they really want to get out of a relationship before they enter into it, before they add extra pressure to it. Well, what did you even want to do this for? You don't have to get married to have kids.
Oh yeah, people do that every day.
They do it every day. But sometimes the child is the most positive thing that you got out of the relationship.
Right.
Sometimes the child is the lesson that you learned about trying to follow, you know, or coexist with somebody in a period of time. Maybe that time fell away. You can't do nothing with your child as much as you can do something with that lease that you might have shared, or the home that you might have shared, or the bills that you might have been paying together. It's okay to learn that lesson. And I don't think these are things that happen just because of a lack of submission as much as it might be the presence of more awareness. What am I really doing with my one life?
Yeah. You get to the end of that and realize that. Yo,
your
this
life.
Thing
I used to tell people all the time, a woman's life is not, the worth of her life cannot continuously be described in regard to her proximity to the next closest male relative that she has. So she's not worth X because she's somebody's daughter. She's not worth Y because she's somebody's wife. She's not worth Z because she's somebody's sister.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Or somebody's mother. She's just worth it because she's her. That in and of itself is revolutionary, especially if somebody else is not being taught that. Because
mm-hmm.
they could think that their partnership is what actualizes your value.
Yeah, a lot of people are taught that. It's hard to get away from that. Especially when you start talking about how submission is taught in the Bible. And just to be clear about what it does, mm-hmm. submission establishes and upholds order. Outside of order, submission does not exist. So the purpose is to maintain the order in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to talk about this because of the harm that's been inflicted. But is it possible to objectively answer the question, is there a benefit to order?
Yes, there's a benefit to it. Just think of all the things that have.
Before you go, I'm not asking that question as the,
oh.
I'm trying to beat submission into somebody. Now I'm just asking the question because I have something after that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, think of all the things that rely on order to function. So of course there's benefit to having order.
But I also believe that there's a benefit to disorder, because mm-hmm. Without disorder, you don't get some of the creative output
mm-hmm.
that you need.
Mm-hmm.
You need disorder. You also need order. For instance, we talk a lot about the Bible in the literary forms. That's a form of order that's useful for telling a story. Even the subtext of a story is told in that type of order. So yeah, order is good. Order is sometimes challenging.
Value.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing it does do is it does suffocate
creativity.
It suppresses change. Like
mm-hmm.
you cannot change anything in rigid order.
Want.
Yeah. You have to break the order at some point.
Exactly.
So if you think about submission that way, like, yeah, there's times when this may be the order. This A, position A may be the order. There's times when we may flip it on its head and position Z may be the order. Mm-hmm. I say flip it on its head in position. This is not sex in the Bible. This is just, but I mean, there are other times where there's no order and we're just figuring it out as we go.
Right.
Like, so that's kind of how life works. And you can see in the system how order works, and order sometimes is not required.
Right.
For instance, in my situation, like in my relationship, I've never wanted to be in that position where I'm like making a decision or right. like I'm the tiebreaker.
It's a lot. It's
like
a
it's
lot
a tie of... between me and her and I'm still the tiebreaker. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So I kind of always wanted to, she's smart as hell. So like, I want to like, sometimes I'm like, yo, what do you think? Cause I don't really trust what I'm thinking right now. You know? So it's like having a partner mm-hmm. means that, yo, we both really are smart people. We can figure this out together. Mm-hmm. And if we make the wrong choice, then we're going to figure out how to come back from that together. Like, it's not like, this is what I said. I'm the man of the house. This is what we're going to do. Like, we're going
to. Yeah, but I mean, but see, there, not to say that, like I said, the presence of submission does not also mean that there is abuse actually happening, that somebody is abusing that concept, you know, actively, because they do experience that from their partner. But I believe that, just like you said, disorder is pushing the conversation forward on what is the true value and what does submission actually look like. There could be disorder writ large when you're looking at a group and you're saying, well, why is this phenomenon consistently happening? So if you say, you know, a number of women are becoming mothers without becoming wives first, that is reality. That is a reality where a male partner and his energy and his priorities and his intent is present. You know, just as sure as you are having that child has a father. And that father, at the birth of that child, if you get to that point and you are still single, he did not ask you to be his wife. Mm-hmm. Okay. For a host of reasons, not all of which are negative. Mm. Okay? Because if you decided that that is not the best and ideal relationship structure for you, that a marriage is not quite it, mm-hmm. please, please don't invite me to a party you don't want to be at.
Yeah.
You understand? But let's say that this is seen as a disorder. Mm-hmm. So now you have a bunch of little households that are not led by this figure and role model that has been taught, that has been talked up as, this is who's going to lead your household. You know who leads your household? Your mother. Mm. Your mom leads it. And I'm talking about whether she only has one of you or she ends up having three of you by, you know, three different people. Your mother runs her household. This will further the conversation on what it would mean if that woman is just as much a part of not only church community, but of actual God body, that God loves her just as much as he loves you. How do you then convert that woman or make that woman or see that woman as becoming a wife? The submissions conversation don't look the same for her.
Yeah, she been a boss the whole time and now all of a sudden, now she a worker.
Now, the only person who can really convert her energy is somebody who sees the positive aspect of that and says, I want that in my household. That's not for a beta male. That's not for somebody who is seeking to lord over somebody. Especially if, and I don't know how I'm throwing this up, but sometimes submission is easier to imagine if you see it in action. And this leads me to just an observation. You're not going to have a submitting woman if the man is not submitting to something that she also can honor and respect. Disorder is forcing that conversation. You can't just send your wife to church with the children. You have to go. You can't just say to her, you know, be active in these ministries. You can't just say to your girlfriend, you know, you can't hang out with your girls because they might be a bad influence or they're all single or whatever, because a lot of that is rooted in misogyny. And then on your end, it's a lot of permissiveness or a lot of, but this is cool for me because I am in this male role or this masculine role that says that I'm not even subject to the same rules as you. What is pushing the conversation forward is the fact that reality is hitting different if people are not all on the same page.
We've talked a lot about husbands and wives and the role of submission and all that stuff, but the way that it's taught, the way that it's written, it does not leave space for LGBTQIA partners. Mm-hmm. So you have a natural question. What do we do in that case? Like, what, how does it look in that? It, so if you subscribe to this submission model, mm-hmm. and if, first of all, this is a choice. The reason why this is brought up in the Bible at all is because this wasn't happening. People were choosing differently. You can always choose differently. Mm-hmm. You can choose if something's not working. Like I knew a couple, the husband had a drug problem,
okay.
a pretty severe drug problem.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I observed that the wife, she was having a problem with this submission concept because she's like, I can't trust him with anything.
Yeah.
Like I can't even trust him with his own yeah. paycheck. So in that case, the healthy thing is not to push a submission message. Like she's the person that is running the household at that point. That is where that change occurs. Whether you agree with it or not, like you got to look at it like, yo, am I going to let this dude who steals everything out of this house, mm-hmm. who takes every dime that we have, we don't even have, and I got to figure out how to make the mortgage work.
Right.
Like, is this the person at this moment that I'm supposed to relinquish
control to?
Right.
So this is my thing. We talked about order and disorder. And sometimes disorder is the behavior that is brought into the relationship by either partner that forces the question about the value of submission, either with overall or within a certain set of circumstances. So even using that example, that partner's drug addiction is the disorder that the household is experiencing that is forcing a review of what they say is the order of the actual home, who comes first, whose leadership are we following. The disorder is the presence of that bad behavior. Sometimes people are shocked. You know, we've talked about just the, sometimes I think it's a bottomless pit, but it is a huge affront and a very deep bruising when you experience infidelity. Sometimes the presence of that level of disorder forces the question about what it means to ever have been in order at all. And when you say that, you know, when you keep things in order and it suppresses change, what we can never control, we can control our behavior, so we hope, but we cannot control how other people react to it. So there are people who are in much better, much more honest relationships and experiencing much more honest dynamics because of the presence of disorder against the stated order of how it's supposed to go, right? So because of these, you know, these earthquakes, it's your, in your own personal world, here was this earthquake, whatever it could have been. We just described drug addiction, which is negative. We just described infidelity, which is negative. It could be the birth of a child, which overall is positive, but so many things go mm-hmm. into, you know, creating and carrying and actually birthing a child. Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Major purchases, buying a home, moving from, you know, one location to another, pursuing another degree, which can totally change your outlook and your perspective on how you see the world, because now you have new information and you can make better decisions with that information. All of these things, we're talking about change. We're yeah. talking about change. Does the presence of change actually impact how we see the best ordering of our homes, our households, and our relationships? The short answer is yes. Some of my talents and therefore some of my flaws are not going to emerge until the circumstances are right.
Mm.
Just for you to see it. This happens to everyone. And when we started this conversation, and I think that if, you know, you go digging in the crates on some of our episodes, you will find that sometimes the fail safe in human frailty has been let the women fix it. Let the woman fix it. Your husband's cheating, that's fine. You pray about it. You fix it. He done had a baby out on out of wedlock. You thought these were the rules. He broke the rules. You thought this was the order. The behavior has presented disorder. And there's an innocent involved. Leave it to the women. Fix it. You understand what I'm saying? You pray about it. You do the heavy lifting. Even if just communication, coming to agreement on what values and what principles and what priorities are going to come first for the family. Okay. When there's disharmony, most times when you're sitting and you're seeking counsel, sometimes it's disheartening to hear, well, it's going to be up to you to sacrifice. Mm. Right. And then I'm going to put holiness all over your sacrifice and say, the more unhappy you are, my God, the more God is pleased with you.
Okay. So we do have a question from a listener. Look at this. So, T asks, what if both of us feel like we're always submitting, but the other person doesn't see it?
On the one hand, I would be saying, like, how is that happening? But I also think that people all the time think that they are talking to one another and they're talking past one another. Mm-hmm. So they aren't even aware if their message is being received the way that it was intended. I can't see something like that happening on a cyclical basis unless people are really, really intimidated by fully facing their partner, not just physically, but just lining things up word for word and saying, are we even having the same conversation?
Yeah, so it can't be the same. So like you said, we both can't be submitting on washing the dishes because I know you want me to do the dishes, so I do the dishes. That means you can't be doing the dishes. So it has right. to be two separate things. And one of the things I found is in my relationship and just dealing with other people is, like you said, there's two separate things going on. So things that are important to me, I may yield on. Mm-hmm. And the person is yielding on things that are important to them, which I may not hold in the same regard. So it's not a big deal for me to, you know, let you choose the movie.
Right.
Because I don't really care. But you may care, like, mm-hmm. that I don't make a choice. So, like, I could be submitting on something and just be getting frustrated. Like, how is this person letting me do this over and over again? And that person don't care at all. Like, yeah. they don't even see what I'm doing. And it's hard to announce. Like, that's the worst. I hate announcers to be like, yo, because I do that sometimes. Like, I have to be like, yo, remember when I, or like, I'm about to wash your car. You need anything while I'm out there washing your car? Like, I don't have to just go outside and wash the car.
Right.
Let them get into a clean car or something like that. Like,
mm-hmm. I mean, people have their quirks. But when you say somebody's, I feel like I'm submitting. I feel like I'm making the sacrifice. And this other person feels like they're making a sacrifice. What I have learned is it's either things are getting lost in translation.
But that's what she's saying. She's saying they don't see it. So I wonder what the conversation was like.
So what does it look like? So if I say that I'm making it. That's the question. If you don't see it, right? If you saying, well, I'm making a sacrifice and you're making a sacrifice, but yet I don't see it. We don't see it in each other. What does it look like?
You got to have a conversation and you got to have a conversation outside of a tension point. Like, so.
Yeah. Which is the value of counseling.
Yeah. Like, yo, hey, have you noticed that I've been doing this for like all this time and you don't know? Yeah.
Or like, just definitely not when it's going down.
So for instance, like I can use this example. Like, we got the cats downstairs. I don't always want to go down there and feed those cats. Like, they got to, like, they cats, they can figure it
they
out.
They are so beautiful.
If they didn't live in this house, they would figure it out on their own. But I don't feel like doing it all the time. Rude. But anyway, I do feed my cats. Don't call
yes,
the people
your
on
children.
Me.
Yes, they're the cats.
So, sometimes I, you know, maybe want someone else to feed the cats. But like, yo, you want to go down there and feed the cats? And then they'll just laugh at me. Like, but then sometimes they feed the cats. Right. So I can't come and be like, yo, I feed the cats like 6 times this week. Right. Like, what you think you want to get down there?
I feel like love languages is getting ready to pop up a little bit too. Not that I am fluent in all of them, but it is important to understand what it looks like to your partner that they are being cared for. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it behave like? Because we keep using this. I feel like this is a hot word, submission. But we're just talking about, you know, how are we going to get along? How are we going to stretch out this particular positive relationship experience is as long and as far and as wide as we want it to go and as deep as we want it to go. You need to check in with each other, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, and I don't want to bleed over into it, but they're not really happy because they are constantly in the presence of somebody who does not speak their language. Imagine your frustration. Like, you married, and every time you come home, like, your wife is fine. She fine. I mean, she look good and everything. But every time she open her mouth, she's speaking French. Mm. Every time. And all you want her to say to you in English, the language that you understand, is how much she loves you. Mm-hmm. It gets to the point where she not fine enough to overcome that. She don't cook enough, you know, good enough to overcome that. That one thing that she's not able to do. So you've distracted yourself. Well, no, she hasn't quite said it the way that I want her to say it, but she fine though. Well, she wearing that dress. She's so smart. I can tell by the degrees on the wall. You know, she's so financially responsible because the bills don't run late. But every time she opens her mouth to talk to me about how she feels about me, I don't understand it.
Yeah, That'll be rough
because she otherwise looks like she's handling it. You see what I'm saying? But really what's happening is you're eating your expectation of being, you know, communicated with in a way that resonates with you because of how it looks, not truly how it is. And that's sometimes how these love languages are. You know, people are looking for, they want to know in a way that resonates with them that they are loved. It goes way beyond, you know, well, I love you or I value you. I'm happy with you. What does it look like? Mm. Right? So
yeah.
Some people are like, it looks like when my man goes and washes my car because he knows I'm not going to do that. Or it looks like when she goes and feeds the cats. Or it looks like, oh, man, I was just talking about how I wanted this particular type of purse and dang, he went out and got it for me. He didn't need, you know, and he did it by himself. You know what I mean? Or it looks like, whew, you know, I didn't even know she got me tickets for the game. And I didn't even think I could make it. But when she provided that opportunity for me to take off those personal hours, I was happy to do it because I didn't have to do anything else. What does it look like?
Yeah. So, Fatih, I know I didn't ask you a question. I know you answered, Amira, much better than I did. But the last thing I'll say about that is you probably want to remove submission from the vocabulary for this one, because it just ruins the whole thing. And I don't think that anyone is in the house saying, you won't submit. Like, yeah, I've been submitting all week. You ain't submit once. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that that's happening. But the reason why I say remove the language is because I mean, remove the language from the way that you think about it. So it's not, we're not submitting. It's more like, you know, this is what I'm giving, or this is what I'm doing. And I would like for you to do this thing, because I'm pretty sure it can't be the same thing. Mm-hmm. I know it's not possible. So I hope that we'll get better at answering questions as we get more. Y'all got to answer some more questions so we can improve our question answering skills. All right. So in the Bible, real quick before we leave, it's almost over. We see a lot of reference in the Trinity in terms of submission. We mm-hmm. see relationships, and you see Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and people juxtapose those positions in terms of who's submitting to who. The Father's always on the top. You mm-hmm. know, Jesus is the
middle.
Right. Jesus is the middle, and the Holy Spirit is all, we talked about this last week.
Bringing up the rear.
Yeah. So the thing that's interesting about that relationship is that you really don't see disagreement between them. Mm-hmm. If you think about the way we think about submission, it's just like when there is a disagreement, this is the way we'll go.
Okay.
That's not what we see represented. If you look at those persons in the Bible, it's almost like sometimes this person's taking the lead. Sometimes this mm-hmm. person's taking the lead. And you know, Holy Spirit's running it down. You know, Holy Spirit's on creation. Jesus, you're not there yet. Jesus, you running the resurrection. Father, you out of this when you left us alone. Like, it's like, that's kind of how it works.
Right.
So,
but that's an intelligent read of your resources. Like, who do I need to be? Who's on first?
Right. Just figure out who's best suited for this task right here, and that's how you run it. The only time that we ever saw any disagreement or anything approaching disagreement was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was like, not my will but your will, talking to the Father. Mm-hmm. And so we look at that one thing and say, that's the way submission is supposed to work. And we ignore the fact that there's this almost unanimity of agreement between three persons at all points. And Jesus at that point is saying, whatever you want to do is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do this, but whatever.
Right. But also look at the circumstances.
That one
His
time.
His sacrifices.
That one time. And,
but they've been to be the largest. Like, we need, Jesus, we kind of need you to do this because here we go. We can't get to the rest of the story if you don't do this.
So if we use the Trinity as a model, you got to know that the model of the Trinity is lack of disagreement. Mm-hmm. It's a double negative. Or lots of agreement. So does your situation look like that? Is that your partnership that you're in?
Mm-hmm.
Submission doesn't need to become a tool to resolve disagreement. It's a way to utilize your respective strengths.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what the situation calls for.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an energy saving, time saving tool if you are able to read your circumstances and read the situation and understand what it's calling for. Now we're talking about managing personality. Pride and ego sometimes create more busy work than a, you know, than a problem or a situation or any sort of project calls for.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to objectively assess strengths and weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
much like you would at work, you know, much like you would working in groups in graduate school or something like that. It's the same principle. It's the same idea. Why would I come heavily laden with things that will not move us forward, such as, you know, the need for my ego to be stroked or my need to be, you know, to have my way or the highway? Why would I do that when ultimately us hitting this goal moves us five paces ahead? How do we do it?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I think, like, and that's why it started out with this discussion of submission, but really, what have we talked about? We've talked about the ability to form effective teams. We've talked about partnership. We've talked about collaboration. We've talked about creativity, discretion, and discernment, right? So yes, this word and this concept has been used and misused over the years, but we got to reclaim things. And the first thing you do is you reclaim it by language. So y'all are not necessarily trying to just have happy marriages. Y'all are trying to be happy human beings that happen to be married. Amen. You're not just trying to get married. You're trying to be whole. And if marriage emerges as the best situation for you to be as happy and as fulfilled as possible, then okay. Like, you good. God loves you. You good. You are good right where you at. You are loved right where you are. We're not taking anything away from that. We're just looking on how do we grow that? How do we deepen that experience? You're good.
Last week, we talked about how the spirit works in all people to generate that harmony. And that same spirit is at work in you and whoever you partner with.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't do a lot of discussion about LGBTQIA couples, but it's the same. Whoever you're partnered with, that spirit wants to reconcile itself. It wants to avoid injuring itself.
Yep.
It wants to make sure that it uses its abilities the best that it has. Maybe it's parenting in this situation with me, and then maybe it's parenting in a different situation with them, or maybe this person is better at planning the birthday parties.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm better at parent-teacher conferences and things like, mm-hmm. like there's a constant play at work with the spirit in all of us. And if we continue to look at it that way, we continue to see that it doesn't really matter who's at the top. We gonna make it to the top.
We gonna make it.
For Faith Uncut, I'm your host Mike.
And I'm Amira.
For more on Faith Uncut, check us out at faithuncut.com.
Or you may feel like, I remember one time, like, I can't say that. Can't say that.
Amen.
Yeah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That was.
Nope.
Yeah. Amen.